All right. Oh, we're on. Good. Here we go. Yeah, Josh has got a starred shirt on, and I got my Circa cargo dad pants, you know? You never know when you're going to find an old VCR laying on the side of the road, and you want to take it home and fix it up. You just slip it right in there. I'm so happy to be here, and Josh, I love Josh because he doesn't know anything about sports. And he just gets straight to the point with me, and I like that, right? Where there's no like, well, what do you think of the Chiefs this year? I like football, but it's just refreshing not to have to talk, jump through all those hoops before we get deep. I kind of like to go around. And so he called and asked, he goes, can I tell people you played football? And he's like, is that what they call it? Play the football? Or, you know, said something like that. I was like, sure, whatever helps people listen a little longer. Just go ahead. And so it's funny, today I was at work, and I sell security systems, and I don't know a lot about security systems, but I'm okay at selling them. And so I have to have a lot of help from our tech department when we're at work. And so anytime a customer has a question, I basically have to call them to find the answer because I don't know yet. I've only been there like a year. But one of our tech guys is like a super diehard Chiefs fan. And I called him today and I said, can you explain how this system works in a way a football player can understand it? And he goes, you know, Brett, I'm a diehard Chiefs fan, and just the fact that I get to work with you is just special to me. And he goes, you've got an aura about you or something. And I said, well, would you please call my wife and tell her about the aura that I have and what a big deal I am? And so anyways, I'm going to come down here. Get on your level. So, in all seriousness, I urge you guys, I know I've got five kids. If you got kids and are running around, I don't care. Just let them run and have fun. And I just urge you guys to just listen, no matter where you are in your walk with the Lord, just try to listen to what I'm going to say. It's nothing special. See, he's listening. I told him he could walk around. There you go. It's my story is not really that much different than anybody else's. You know, people tend to listen more just because I played football. But whenever anybody shares their testimony or tells about something God did in their life, it's not just for them, but it's for you, right? It's always an invitation that God will want to do the same thing in your life, right? He doesn't have favorites, okay? And so when I was growing up in church, my mom taught Sunday school. She would drag me to church every morning. My dad wouldn't go, but he'd yell at me if I threw a fit about going. And I was like, Dad, why didn't you go to church? Why don't you go to church? And he said, I went when I was little, so I don't have to go anymore. And I was like, oh, okay, that's how it works. So I got to pay my dues, you know. And so my mom would get up real early singing all the old hymnals. And my mom, you know, I love her, but she can't sing. And so it was early in the morning, her very bad voice. And me kicking and screaming all the way to church. And that was my memory of church growing up. And the church I went to, I mean, all I ever heard people talk about was sin. It was just don't do this and don't do that and don't do this. And they would say, if you don't ask Jesus in your heart, you're going to go to hell when you die and all this different stuff. And as like an 8-year-old, it's hard to figure all that out. And so it was really scary. And so I had this view of God as this being this big referee or prison warden in the sky checking off how many sins you did that day, you know, and it kind of scared me. And, you know, with fear, you know, fear, whenever I heard those scary messages, it would cause me to behave for a little while. It caused me to sit up and listen in church for a couple weeks, right? But before you knew it, I just wanted to do my own thing again. But in the scriptures, you see this picture in Romans where Paul's kind of describing sin and what it looks like. And a lot of times we look at sin as just bad things we do, but the Bible describes it as something that controls us, right? The Bible says if you give yourself to it, right, you become a slave to it, right? And it controls you. And one thing sin causes you to do, it causes you to mistrust your Father in heaven. It causes you to question him. It gets suspicious. You guys got a suspicious neighbor, right? You're kind of looking at him like, I don't know about that guy. I don't know if he's got the best intentions for me. Kids, we should stay back, right? Anything goes wrong in the neighborhood, that guy did it, right? But that's how sin causes us to treat God, right? I don't want nothing to do with you. I'm going to live my own life. Everything that goes wrong, though, is your fault, right? I'm suspicious of you. That's what sin does. But I used to think God was waiting for you to sin and so he could drop a lightning bolt on you or make something terrible happen to you, but in the Bible it shows a different picture. It says that the people who suppress the truth of God, right? They suppress the truth of God. Another one, it says they took the truth of God and they exchanged it for a lie. Said, I don't want you, God. I'm going to go follow something else. Says something neat here. It says, God gave them over to the desires of their heart. Said it gave them over to a debased mind. And then later it goes on to said, some people were mad that God wasn't punishing these types of people, which is all types of people. Right? They were mad that God wasn't punishing them. And then Paul says, like, don't get mad that God's patient and kind. Because he's waiting. He doesn't want anybody to fall away from him. And so instead of this vengeful father in the sky waiting to take you out, we have a God who says, I'm not going to force you to do anything. If you want to go your own way, you can do it. But I'm here and I love you. Right? And I want you to change. And he doesn't just stay locked up in his house and say, man, I hope he comes home. He pursues us, right? And he goes after us, and he doesn't stop. And in my life, it got a little annoying, right? Every time I tried to just go out and do my own thing, somebody else would come. And so when I think I was 11 years old in church, and they had some guy come in and teach the church. It was like vacation Bible school. So the kids were off doing one thing. The parents came in Sunday night. And this guy came in, and he had this was 1990, somewhere around there. And this guy came in, and he taught our parents how the end of the world was going to happen in the year 2000, right? And how horrible it was going to be, and kids were going to get separated from their parents. It was just going to be just a terrible thing. And my parents came home, and my family came home talking about it. And then so as a kid, I just hear, like, what's happening in the year 2000? Like, this is terrifying. And so that night, I'm laying in bed, and I can't sleep. I'm so scared. I'm thinking about, I won't get to go to college. I'm not going to get married. All the things that I wanted to do. I'm not going to, get to play football, all this stuff. And I'm just sitting there, and like a little kid, I think I was 11 years old at the time, I just said, God, if I don't have to worry about this, take it away. And as soon as I said that, I felt the Spirit of God come into my room, and I got like holy giggles. I felt so much joy and peace that I giggled myself to sleep. And that might seem normal to some of us folks around here, but the church I grew up in, nobody talked about that stuff. And so that forever marked me. I knew that God came into my room and he told me I didn't have to worry about that. And so if you come to me with some end times theology and I don't pay attention, sorry, he told me not to worry about it, So. But despite God visiting in my room that night as a little boy, I still didn't really want much to do with him because I didn't trust him. I didn't think he had my best interest in mind. So I went to high school and found football. And at first I was terrible at football. I actually quit football in middle school because I was so tiny and guys just run me over. I'd come home crying. And then I hit a growth spurt, right? Grew like 6 inches and put on 70 pounds and could actually walk and chew gum at the same time. And I was like, I think I like football now. And so I gave my all to football. Didn't really like school. My parents were always on me to keep going to, working hard in school, and I didn't want to. But I did because I knew if I wanted to go to college, I had to be, at least get by with the grades with football scholarship. And so I worked really hard, and I became an All-American in high school. I was ranked in the top one or two offensive linemen in the whole country. I was in USA Today and all this stuff. At my high school, they put a picture of me, like posted all around of this newspaper cover that had me down in my stance. And I had a shaved head and this really big, I guess my face hasn't changed that much. It's still big and pudgy, red and all this stuff. And anyways, it said big time. It just had my picture on it. And it was really cool, but it wasn't cool when they posted it around the school and everybody drew like mustaches and stuff on it. And I needed it. I needed to be humbled a little. And so anyways, when I got picked to be on the USA Today All-American team, they came and interviewed me. Our local newspaper came and interviewed me. And just they did these questions. And they said, it was questions like, what kind of car, if you had any car in the world, what kind of would it be? What's your favorite type of music? And so they just did all these lists of questions. And one of the questions was, if you could sit down and eat dinner with one historical figure, who would it be? And I said, Jesus, right? And so the next Sunday, my pastor gets up at church, Look at Brett. He's taking a stand for the Lord in the paper. Oh. And I'm just back there just like, oh, well, I'm not either. Like, I'm out running with my buddies and seeing how much trouble I can get away with without getting arrested. And that's what I was doing. And it was kind of like, you know, in the Bible where it says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And it was uncomfortable, right? I couldn't hide from that because I could just feel God like, really? Is that true, Brett? Is that what you're doing? And so I went off to college, signed, went to Florida State, was fortunate there. I was, when I got there, I was third string on the depth chart my freshman year. Two guys in front of me both got hurt, had basically their careers were over. And so I got to start for 4 years at Florida State and got to win a national championship and was an All-American there as well. But the whole time when I was in college, I'd say, you know, Lord, just let me do what I want to do. And when I'm done with college, if you bless me, I'll make my kids go to church, right? I'll give you them, right? You just can't have me, okay? I'm going to do what I want to do. And I remember one day, it was one of the morning classes I actually went to. It was like really early in the morning, and I had been out doing what, you know, college kids doing the wrong thing were doing the night before, and so I wasn't feeling very good early in the morning. And I was sitting on a bench, just kind of dreading going into class. I think we had a test, and these two students walked up, and they weren't football players. They were like this tall and didn't look like they ever did anything athletically, and I was just kind of like, what do they want? And they kneeled down in front of me, and they said, hey, man, what do you know about Jesus? And when the word Jesus left their mouth, it was like I got hit with an anvil. And I couldn't talk because I knew if I talked, I was going to start crying. It just rocked me. And so that's what I mean. God wouldn't let me go. He haunted me, like in a good way. Where are you going, son? You're being an idiot. Like, come home. Like, what are you doing? And so finally, I got to the summer before my senior year. In college, and I kind of hit just, you know, it's, you know, what Jesus say where he said, you know, it's terrible if you gain the whole world, but forfeit your soul. And so here I had a hold of everything I ever wanted, everything everybody always told me, man, Brett, once you get here, I knew I was going to the NFL, I was an All-American, all this stuff. Said, once you get here, once you have this, man, wow, it's going to be awesome. And then I had it all, and I was miserable, absolutely miserable. And I had some teammates that came that loved Jesus. They treated women the right way. They played football well. I mean, they were real men. I was like, wow, I've never seen guys like this before. And they came, and they were always trying to be my friend, and I didn't want to have anything to do with them. I used to pick on them. And anyways, they came to me, and they're like, you know, Brett, you're not ever going to experience the abundant life Jesus has until you know who Jesus is. Jesus isn't here just to bless you. He's not here just to get you out of hell one day. But he is Lord. He is King. And until you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, you're never going to get what you're looking for. And so when are you going to quit playing games, and when are you going to get all in with Jesus? He wants to make a man out of you. And it cut me to the heart because I knew I was a coward. All I cared about was what my friends thought. And it just cut me to the heart. I went to this, and I wrestled with it a little while. I was like, I don't know if I can do this. Don't know if I can do this. And then I went to this meeting. This guy preached the gospel. And I, growing up in the church, they preached the gospel every week, the one I went to. So every week I'd whisper the prayer, Jesus, come into my heart, save me. Because, you know, I thought if I said it enough that it would work, you know. So I came down front. He said, if you want to give your life to Jesus, come down front and pray this prayer. I was like, all right, here I go again. I meet it this time. I think I'm ready to get in. I come down front to pray. And as soon as I get down there, it was me and a few other students were up there and the pastor's up here. And he just stops and he goes, you know, don't let this be like all the other times where you just gave God lip service, but really give your life. Just follow him or don't follow him. This has got to stop. And he was talking to everybody, I think, but it felt like he was talking to me. And so I prayed to receive Christ. And I just said, I don't know what it means, but you can have all of me. Whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do. No matter what it costs me, I want you. And right after I prayed that, this other pastor walks up and he goes, that's awesome, man. You want to get filled with the Holy Spirit? And I was like, what's that? He goes, and he read one verse. He says, look, in the Bible, they got filled with the Holy Spirit and they prayed in tongues. I was like, that sounds weird, but okay. And so they laid their hands on me, and I was like, what is going on? And I started praying in tongues. I was like, what's happening to me? This is so weird. And I have never felt in my whole life peace and love and joy like that since back when I was a 9-year-old and I prayed that prayer, God, if I don't have to worry about it, take it away. Right? That's the God we serve. Too many people, and for whatever reason, just our sin, right? We just think we can make a deal with God. And we wait till our life falls apart, and then we run to church, and we just say, if I just sit in church, then he owes me something, right? Then he'll fix up something. Right? God's not interested in just fixing the outside. He wants you. Because he loves you. Because he made you. He won't stop at anything. And you can look at my life and say, well, Brett, your life, your life's not like mine. I've been through a lot more. God never showed up in my room when I prayed. You know, my parents didn't support me, and I had there's a lot of people with a lot of worse lives than all of us in here. But we have the truth of the gospel that says this. It doesn't matter what life's thrown at you. The gospel says that while we were his enemies, Christ died for us. Right? So it doesn't matter where you've been through, what you've been through, where you come from, what baggage you bring to Jesus. While you were at your most messed up point, he said, I'll die for him. I'll die for her. Because I want him or her, I want them to know the Father's love. Once I said yes to Jesus, it changed my life. I instantly went back to the football team. And I was the guy that had all the kegs at the house, wanted to do the party. And I was like, can't do that anymore, fellas. And they're like, man, I miss the old Brett, man. What's going on? And I would stand up for my faith, and I'd say, hey, man, what are you doing, man? Is that what you want to? I'd catch one of my teammates doing something they shouldn't. I'd say, is that what you want to be doing when Jesus comes back? And they'd be like, oh, Brett, you crazy. And then they come up to me later and say, hey, thanks for saying that. And so when I went to the Chiefs, I was surrounded by a bunch of millionaires who I'd watched play my whole life. But I wasn't afraid of them. I didn't care what they thought about me. I'd read my Bible during team meetings when Coach Vermeil was talking too long and I didn't want to hear it anymore. I was like, okay. And I pulled my Bible out and teammates would walk by and like, what's this guy doing? Right? And so I remember I went to a movie one time with one of my teammates, and this bad scene came in the movie, a scene that I knew I shouldn't have watched. And so during the movie, I had teammates around me, and just the Holy Spirit gave me the ball. All I did was just turn my head and not watch the scene. Right, and I thought, well, nobody even noticed that I did that. I tried to sneak it so I didn't look weird to my friends. I wasn't watching the movie they were watching. And years later, we get an email from that friend, and he says, "Brett, I want to thank you for when we were teammates, and we were in a movie, and a bad scene came on, and you turned your eyes, and it was at that point I knew it was possible to turn away from those things." Right, and now he's in seminary. Right, and so God takes our fear, right? He takes our fear away. He takes our cowardice away. He makes us secure in who we are. We know his love. We have purpose, right? He gives us forgiveness. He gives us a new name, right? When I met Jesus, I didn't care about playing in the NFL that much anymore because I knew his purpose was so much greater for me. And so when I had a bad day at practice and the coaches would be like, Brett, you got to pick it up. We're just going to find somebody else. I'd be like, okay. God's got something else for me if that's how we're going to roll. But it just brings security and peace and purpose. And most important, you know, Jesus said it this way. He said, whoever hears these words of mine and obeys them is like the man who built his house on the rock. Right? The storms, the wind, and the rain of life come, and that house doesn't move. Right? But whoever hears the words of him and doesn't listen is like the man who built his house on the sand. Right? So when we're going our own way, when we're not following Jesus, we're just building our house on sand. It's just a matter of time before it comes down. But when we follow Jesus, he makes us strong. He builds our house on the rock. And I'm going to have the ministry team come up. Go ahead and come on up, ministry team. We're going to go into a time of prayer, but I just want to leave you guys with this. You know, when Jesus came, he said, the message he carried was repent. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Right? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the word repent sometimes gets a bad rap and means a lot of different things to other people, but it was Jesus' way of saying, just stop living life the way you're living it, the way the world taught you to live it, and come follow me, and I'll teach you how to live life. Come follow me and take my life, right? Come follow me and take my life upon you. Jesus isn't just an option. He's the source of life. And until we surrender it to him, we never know it. We never know what real life is. And so that's my invitation, you guys, today. We're going to have, we'll have the ministry team up here. And my challenge is, if you're here today and you've never responded to Jesus, the same Jesus that walked through in the Bible and asked people, follow me, follow me. The Holy Spirit is still asking the same question. Follow Jesus. Will you follow me? And so if you want to make that decision today, you feel free to come up and somebody will pray with you. And then also my other challenge is to people, maybe you've been coming to church for a while. Maybe you're good at doing church like I was. But you're fake, right? Jesus is your lifeboat, but he's not your boat captain, right? You want him to get you out of hard times, but you don't want to follow him anywhere, right? If that's you, you know who you are. It's not fun to live that way, right? God's got so much more for you. And so I challenge you, if that's where you are, to come down front and have somebody pray for you. Pray to give your whole life to Jesus. And then finally, if you have any other need, a healing in your body or just financial need, anything else, we invite you guys to come down now and pray. Thank you guys so much for your time. And I love coming to Hope. I'm so blessed by what you guys mean to my family and my kids. And I look forward to seeing you around.
Would you guys, could we stand tonight together? That was so beautiful. The worship team is going to just lead us in a song, and I want to invite you to respond tonight to everything Brett shared. I believe there are people in this room. God loves you so much, and his heart is for you. If you feel in your heart you want to respond tonight to one of those three things, we'd love to pray for you tonight as they sing. And then we're going to do some baptisms right after this, so we'll give this a few minutes. going to sing this for another few minutes, and I want to encourage you to not be afraid tonight. That if you're, Jesus is moving on your heart and you want to respond, there's something about a public response. There's that moment of decision. This team is here to love on you and pray for you and bless you. Maybe you need healing in your body tonight for something. As the baptism, those that are being baptized tonight are preparing to get baptized. You guys can go right now and be released to this door over here. Pastor Tim's raising his hand. If you're getting baptized tonight, you can go to him. We're going to sing this just another time or two, and I want to encourage you to respond still in these next few minutes as we sing and we worship. We're going to begin our baptisms. You can just keep praying for people where you are.
All right, we've got a lot of excited baptismal candidates here tonight. They're going to say their name and then they're going to tell us why they want to get baptized.
My name is Noah, and the reason I want to get baptized It's because I wanted to do it for years, and I just love Jesus.
Alright, can you tell everybody your name and why you're wanting to get baptized tonight?
My name is Eli, and the reason why I want to get baptized is because I love Jesus.
Can you tell everybody your name and why you're wanting to get baptized tonight?
My name is Mia, and I just want more of Jesus.
Yes.
Can you tell everybody your name and why you're wanting to get baptized tonight?
My name's Annie, and I just want more of Jesus because I think I'm ready to get baptized.
You'd like to tell everybody your name and why you want to get baptized?
My name is Keisha, and I just felt the prompting of the Holy Spirit to renew this part of my walk with Him, and I want to be obedient to that.
You want to say your name and why you want to be baptized?
My name is Isaac, and I felt like God put it on my heart to as a step closer to Him.
If you'd like to tell everybody your name and why you want to be baptized.
My name is Mackenzie, and the reason I'm getting baptized is because I want to be closer to Jesus.
Yes, come on. If you'd like to tell everybody your name and why you want to be baptized today.
My name is Wade.
And as a Catholic, I was baptized as an infant. And as we know, this is God's command, baptism by water. I wanted to do it this time by free will.
Yeah. Come on.
Can you tell everybody what your name is and why you're wanting to get baptized tonight?
My name is Creed Tosig, and I feel like Jesus just chose me to be baptized.
That's awesome. Can you tell everybody what your name is and why you want to get baptized?
My name is Annabelle, and I want to get baptized to show everybody that when you give your heart to God, it's a big moment in your life.
Amen. Can you tell everybody what your name is and why you want to get baptized tonight?
My name is Peyton, and I want to get baptized because I love Jesus.
Everybody, what your name is and why you want to get baptized?
My name is Kylie, and I want to get baptized because I love Jesus.
Can you tell everybody what your name is and why you want to get baptized tonight?
My name's Addison, and I'm getting baptized because I want to let Jesus into my heart.
Could tell everybody your name and why you want to be baptized this evening.
My name's Rebecca, and I want to be baptized to surrender my life to Jesus.
Come on. you could tell everybody today your name and why you'd like to be baptized.
I'm Mike. I've just never had that fear to step out in boldness with my faith and become the man that and husband and father that my Heavenly Father created me to be.
You'd like to tell everybody today your name and why you'd like to be baptized.
My name's Sarah Kiter, and I am being baptized because I am a child of God.
Yes. Come on.
If you'd like to tell everybody your name and why you're baptized.
Yeah, my name is Takudwa, and I was baptized as a baby where they just sprinkle water on my forehead, and I decided it was about time I got baptized and immersed in water.
He wanted a cannonball into the baptismal. I say go for it, but you know. So, if you'd like to tell everybody your name and why you'd like to be baptized.
My name is Joel, and there's so many reasons. But I'm seeking for the baptism of the Holy Spirit and just answering to my calling and just ready for it. Just ready for it. Yeah, I'm just ready for it.
Come on, that's so awesome. Yeah, let's stand up and give the Lord a shout of praise tonight. Come on, let's give Him a shout of praise. Yeah. Come on, let's thank Jesus tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. How many just say yes times thousands that are going to come to know the goodness of Jesus? I'll tell you what, I just felt led to do this one more time. I'm going to invite some of our ministry team to come back actually again, because I actually believe that there is more people tonight in this room that your heart is burning and you need to respond to Jesus. I also had a strong sense that there are people in the room that, just like he just said, want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and that tonight is your night for that. And so we want to welcome you to come. If you're here tonight and you maybe you accepted Jesus already tonight, and you'd say, I want to be baptized. I saw something tonight, and I want to respond to him that way. Vicki Melton is waving her hand really big at this door, this exit sign. I want to encourage you to go over to Vicki, and you can actually get baptized tonight. You can get baptized tonight. You might even be in the room and say, I haven't given my heart to the Lord yet, but I want to. Paul Harris, my friend, where is he? He's down here somewhere. I can't see him. He's over there in the corner by the exit sign. If you still long to receive the Lord tonight, he's got something for you. Maybe you already received the Lord tonight, and he'd love to connect with you as well. If you need prayer for anything, baptism in the Holy Spirit, you need healing in your body, this front is open tonight. If you need to go, we've got ice cream in the foyer for you tonight. You're welcome to get some ice cream as you go. I think the church should be full of all the things, the good things. Ice cream, Holy Spirit, salvation, healing. It's all the stuff. Jesus has got all the good stuff. So Charity and the team are going to lead us again. And if you need to go or you want to get ice cream, go. If you want prayer tonight for more, come. If you want to be baptized, it's available for you tonight as well. God bless you.